Thank you, Mr. Sterner. Much appreciated. It's Maryland Morning on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. Now, a conversation with our legal experts, Edward Smith and David Jaros, about the announcement on Wednesday by State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby that she was abandoning her plans to prosecute the officers who remained to be tried or retried in the arrest and death of Freddie Gray. So to recap briefly, last December, Officer William Porter's trial ended with a hung jury. Over the next several months, Edward Nero, Caesar Goodson, and Brian Rice were acquitted by Judge Barry Williams in bench trials. On Wednesday, State's Attorney Mosby announced that she will not pursue prosecutions of Officer Garrett Miller and Sergeant Alicia White, and that she will not retry Officer Porter. Edward Smith is an attorney in private practice. He served in the office of the state's attorney, and he's argued cases in front of the Supreme Court. He joins us from a courthouse in Baltimore County, where he is arguing a case this morning. Good morning, Ed. Nice to talk to you.
Hey, good to talk to you, Tom.
And David Jaros is an associate professor at the University of Baltimore School of Law. So, Dave, let me turn to you first. The press conference that State's Attorney Mosby had in front of the Gilmore Homes on Wednesday when she made this announcement that she was going to dismiss the cases against the remaining officers was really extraordinary in a lot of ways. I mean, at one point, she talked about the inherent bias that's in place when police investigate themselves. That's an extraordinary statement for a state's attorney that works closely with the police, isn't it?
It really was. And the level of animosity between at least the high level of this office and the police is really unusual and astounding. This is a case that has raised, you know, deep questions. But I think also if we pull back a little bit, Ms. Mosby's argument sort of points to, I think, one big takeaway from all of this, which is both sides feel very strongly that there were unfair motivations of the other side. And I think it points to how both in investigation and prosecution of these kinds of cases involving the police, we may need a neutral third party to step in and both investigate and ultimately prosecute these cases.
Yeah, that's interesting. Ed Smith, what do you think, and now that, you know, the dust is beginning to settle from this very long process leading from the violence that the city experienced in late April, the indictments that State's Attorney Mosby announced on the 1st of May, and then, you know, through this week when the remaining charges end up being dismissed. Ultimately, what have we learned?
Well, Tom, I think what we have learned is that we can get through anything if we have the faith and the commitment and the principles to wade through it. I see this as a lose-lose and a win-win situation for both the police and for the state's attorney's office. If they look towards the future, and I don't see any really vitriolic problems with the police department, at least not the commissioner, who sets the tone of what the police department does. I see some lawyers who want to take down this the state's attorney, and I see some people in the community who are disappointed, but you get over your disappointments, you forge ahead, and you make something out of this very bad situation. A man is dead. We have to understand that. We have to understand the lessons from what happened as a result of really problems on both sides with this case, but we have to move on.
And Dave Jaros, we not only heard from Marilyn Mosby on Wednesday, we've heard this week as well from the attorneys who represented some of the officers, as well as the prosecutorial team, Janice Bledsoe and Michael Schatzo. The defense attorney said that Marilyn Mosby could have requested help from a whole bunch of different agencies and did not. They really questioned the sort of efficacy and sincerity, if you will, of Marilyn Mosby's investigation before she brought these charges. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, I think I'm not in a position to know. There's a lot of allegations on both sides about misconduct or failures to do their job, and I think yesterday there was also a press conference where the two state's attorneys who tried the case talked about their process, and Assistant State's Attorney Schatzow pointed out that there was not a steady climb of information discovered during the course of the investigation. It's not as if there was a whole lot more to learn. To some extent, we have to recognize it's hard to investigate cases involving police misconduct and police brutality. There is, and I think we have to acknowledge.
It's it's just inherently difficult.
It's very hard. And there is social pressure among police officers not to help in the investigation of a fellow brother or sister officer. So there were real challenges here. I think, as Ed points out, the question really is going to be, what kind of reforms do we institute going forward?
And Ed, what's your take on that? You've defended officers when they go to their review boards, the trial reviews. Do you think that this experience will dramatically change, you know, procedurally and culturally, the way that the Baltimore City Police Department operates?
Oh, I definitely do. I think it will be an example for the rest of the nation as to what happens in Baltimore City. I believe in police officers. When my brother has been a police officer for 35 years, I believe in the state's attorney's office. They are the line that protects us in this city. The takeaway has to be we can be better. All of us can be better as long as we have good faith, as long as we have morality, and as long as we look to be better. People who are trying to tear us down by making wild statements and accusations, they need to be ignored, and we need to push forward.
And Dave Jaros, the officers that still face internal reviews, what's going to be different between those endeavors and the criminal trials? I mean, is the evidence the same? Are the arguments the same, or do they differ considerably?
Well, one fundamental difference is the burden of proof. And we have to remember that this is a hard case to prove, and proving a crime required every element be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Here, there's a much different level of finding. They have to find only by preponderance of the evidence, which means a little more than 50%. And the question is just whether or not they're doing their job or they can be fired. So it's a much lower standard. But I think people should watch this process carefully, because what I think many people don't recognize, that a lot of the questions about how the police are ultimately regulated come down to difficult questions of what's in that contract between the city and the police. And those are things that the public doesn't usually pay attention to.
Indeed. Dave Jaros from the University of Baltimore and Ed Smith, a private attorney in private practice. I appreciate both of you guys joining us this morning and all the mornings that you've shed light on this. Thanks so much to both of you.
Tom, appreciate you. Dave, you take care of yourself. And to the listeners, it's been fun.
Okay. Attorney Edward Smith, he has served as both a prosecutor and a defense lawyer. David Jaros is on the faculty of the University of Baltimore School of Law. They've been helping us unpack the vagaries of the cases of the officers involved in the arrest that led to the death of Freddie Gray. That's it for us today. Coming up Monday, a special edition of Maryland Morning. We'll get to spend the hour with Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake. We'll get her reaction to Marilyn Mosby's announcement, her take on the status of the Port Covington TIF, her position on the proposal to raise the minimum wage in Baltimore, and a host of other issues. I hope you can join us Monday morning for Maryland Morning with the Mayor. Maryland Morning's director, engineer, and co-host is Nathan Sterner. The show is produced by Rob Sivak, Bridget Armstrong, and Kathleen Cahill, with production assistance from Lauren Ferguson. Shane Raphael has been our intern this summer, and we wish him all the best as he moves on with his education. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Maryland Morning theme music. Coffee for our guests provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. You can check them out online, ZEKESCoffee.com. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate it. Garrison Keillor is up next with the Writer's Almanac. Have a great weekend.